Jesse from Last Stop This Song, and you're listening to CJLO 6090 AM in Montreal.
Hello, you're listening to CJLO News. Quebec wants to expand its religious symbols ban further into the education system, preventing every employee and volunteer involved in education from wearing religious symbols. Under the current rules, teachers and public-facing civic employees cannot wear religious symbols. This new bill, tabled last week, which is expected to pass, will extend that ban. Janitors, school administrators, and volunteers could not work in turbans, hijabs, kippahs, or other symbols. Students would also not be able to cover their faces. Pearl Eliadis is a legal scholar and practicing lawyer who specializes in democratic governance. Eliadis says this is part of Quebec's trend towards a more intrusive definition of secularism.
Quebec has an ever-diverging view of what secularism means that increasingly is moving away from the standards that have been set by the Supreme Court of Canada and by human rights legislation in Canada.
Eliadis believes this new expansion is dragging the discussion around secularism in an unreasonable direction.
Public-facing officials who wield authority over people, I think reasonable people can differ about whether or not it's appropriate to restrict their religious rights because they're facing the public. People might be concerned, for example, of a policeman or policewoman, you know, with a certain religious symbol. I personally don't share that view, but at least I understand it. I don't think it's right, but I understand it. But this change, you know, I think shows that the divergence is moving even further away, because now we're talking about people who aren't even necessarily public facing.
Shaheen Ashraf is a board member of the Canadian Council of Muslim Women, a group that has been advocating for the rights of Muslim women in Canada since 1982.
We actually advocate, you know, for the Muslim woman's right to wear whatever she is comfortable in.
Ashraf believes these rules are designed to aggravate Muslims in the province. The banning of symbols for volunteers, she finds especially extreme.
It's terrible. It's terrible. I mean, I have contributed to society by the grace of God in a good way all the time, and I cover my head, and nobody has a problem with that, you know? Except the government just creating rules for nothing. I mean, they create problems for things that don't exist or matter. Yeah. I mean, define secularism to me. What is secularism according to your belief? To me, today in Quebec, the secularism is like another religion that is being forced down our throats.
For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Adam Innes.
Thank you. Your best years in bed, tending to your.
هاي يا حلوين، معكم The Voice of the Voiceless على CJLO 1690 AM. Today we will be discussing a very nice topic that it was quite sudden. But first, I forgot to introduce myself. I'm so sorry. May, I'm here with my two beautiful best friends.
Maryam, hi everyone.
Hi, it's Judy here.
Nice to see
Hi,
you.
Hi, Judy. I was giving your voicemail.
I said, للحظة. Sorry, نسيت إنه نحنا بالشو هلا بيعرفونا صاروا أصلاً. لازم casual, please.
So I was saying that today we will be talking about a very nice topic that we were talking about at dinner yesterday when we were at dinner, and we were like, you know what, that's a very nice topic to discuss today.
We discussed deep stuff. I feel like it was
one of my favorite conversations.
It was a really good conversation. Yeah, I loved it. So many cool topics. Yeah,
I loved it. So today we will be discussing individuality as an Arab, like as an Arab in general in the West. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if we were speaking the topic from the youth point of view, but mm-hmm. I feel like it's not limited.
Yeah.
And we mentioned as well, like being at the end of Ramadan and like also Lent for the Arab Christians.
Yeah.
And I will.
Well, how we're feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
How
do you guys feel?
Yeah, I'm feeling good today. Yeah, I'm. My throat is like still there, but I also want to talk about the Ramadan, like the holy month in Islam, because we haven't really talked about it.
No.
In the radio show, in the Voice of the Voiceless. So So I'll start off with like what I know. Ramadan is a holy month in Islam. It's one of the, I think, five pillars of Islam, something that you have to accomplish in your life as a Muslim. So it's, I believe it's a 30 days
fasting.
Yeah, of fasting of a whole month from
connecting with God.
Yeah, from sunrise to sunset. So basically, you can't eat or drink for, from sunrise to sunset. But it's not only about
food and water.
It's also about like connecting yourself more with the religion, remind yourself about the importance of Islam, you have to also read the Quran. You have to like really focus on your religion and things like that. So it's really connecting with the religion and the spirituality aspect of it. So yeah, and what do you have anything else to add?
Yeah, it's like that. It's like a lot of connecting with God, and like also I feel like it's with yourself and like removing the bad habits that you used to do and trying to change for the better. Like it's a month of detox.
You know,
it's a spiritual
like, cause detox. You know, like you stop so many things. You're like, okay, now you try to do the best you could, and also the whole program of your day changes because of Ramadan, you know? So it's also a time where you spend a lot of time with your family.
Your routine changes, which is also exciting. It's not like a lot of people, including me, I get excited when Ramadan comes because my routine changes. And it's always good to change your routine.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't, like there's like always some like excitement to it. Like your schedule changes, you go home, your schedule changes, you have to like stay at night. Like the vibe at night is also special too. It's like very, very personal sometimes. So yeah, so the routine changes is also like why it's exciting when it comes. Yeah,
it's like a way of changing your old habits and like changing the way you spend more time with
your family.
Family.
I was gonna say that it gives you like the chance to sit with your mom, sit mm-hmm. with your siblings, mm-hmm, just mm-hmm. like it's home. I feel like Ramadan is about home and like families reconnecting, because
it's true.
I remember like yesterday when my mom was like, oh, I'm so used to having big families in Ramadan, like yeah. my big family, yeah, and so now we're like yeah. separated, like everyone is somewhere.
Everyone is in a different place.
Exactly, different. Exactly. But at the same time, Ramadan is not the same without family. And I just want to give like a shout out to all the strong students who are here without their families. Mm-hmm, you're doing mm-hmm. great. And yeah.
Yeah, everyone is doing great. And I know you're not able to get your mom's food, even though you want to get your mom's food at this time, or like know, yeah. you want to be with your parents. But
yeah, also like the people, shout out to the people who spend Ramadan on their own too.
Exactly.
Mm. I feel like a lot of people, they have to, international students, people who had to like leave their country to mm-hmm. to work in another country or things like that. So yeah, spending Ramadan alone is not Ramadan. It's like it's yeah. very of course, like you can focus on yourself and things like that, but the aspect of family and community is very strong during Ramadan too.
Mm-hmm. So, everyone yeah. connects through yeah. this one spiritual thing, you mm-hmm. know, like everyone yeah. goes to the mosque, everyone goes and like connects through this, masalan, but Tarawih, for mm-hmm. example,
true.
Everyone just goes to the mosque and like prays Tarawih and they connect with God.
Yeah. What is Tarawih, Judy?
Tarawih is like the prayers that yeah. you usually do after
Aisha prayer.
Aisha yes. prayer. Yes. And you do it for like 24.
It starts at 8. Mm-hmm. It starts at 8 after Aisha, and like you can do maximum of 20, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 20 rak'ah, mm-hmm. which yeah. is like
divided in two. So you do two, so you don't mm-hmm. do them all at once.
Yeah.
And speaking of bad habits and letting go of the bad habits and everything, I was talking yesterday to Clara. Shout out Clara, by the way.
Clara, is she listening? Do you know?
I have no idea. I hope okay, she
if you're
is.
Listening, hello, hi. Girlie. We miss you so much.
And we can't wait to have you one day.
Yeah. I was talking to her about like for the past, like last year and this year, how Ramadan and Lent are in the same,
mm-hmm.
same timing. Mm-hmm. And we were like, maybe it's like a sign for all humans just to reconnect in their own way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Connecting with God.
Exactly. And we realized that there is so many similarities, but in different
yeah.
like way of
practicing. Different practices, but the same goal.
But it's the same goal, the same message, mm-hmm. the same thing. She was like telling me so many things about like avoiding, like how gossip is something that's horrible. Like mm-hmm. you shouldn't do that. Everything. It's more than also for them just to let go of the things that they love most. It's not even the timings and everything, it has a purpose. And I was listening to 6-minute audios of Clara and it was the best thing ever. I was like, yes, tell me more. I want to say, I love it. So I felt like I did like made a small connection that these two being in the same period, it has a reason.
It does. Yeah, yeah. It does. It's a sign. Like
yeah, it's a message that like unity. I think it's a message.
It's
of
a message
unity.
Of unity. 100%.
Yeah, it's like people from different backgrounds, and they, you know, they're from different religions. They can come together and like celebrate something that's very similar.
True.
Because Lent, if I'm not sure what it is exactly, but I believe it's a few days in a month where you don't where you like. Fast, but only half of the day, and you have
to, like, it's like from 12 midnight to 12 noon.
Okay.
And it's 40 days without counting, I think, weekends.
Okay.
And on Sunday, I remember from the voice notes, they don't fast because it's God's day.
Mm-hmm.
They don't fast or they do fast?
They don't.
Don't, okay.
They don't, okay. know. And it's,
but do they deprive themselves from like I think some sort of meat?
They don't eat meat.
Yeah,
they don't eat meat, and they also deprive themselves
from,
like
from
maybe
something that they like.
Yeah, like maybe alcohol. They okay. don't like alcohol. Or like it could be anything.
It's something that you really eat a lot.
Okay.
But
yeah.
like you stop yourself from eating it. You know, like you don't.
Yeah.
You don't eat something that you really like. For example, you love coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
You quit coffee.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Okay.
And what I love about these conversations with Clara is like I hear things for the first time that make so much that like relate, but from my side, like on my end, you know, like I feel like, oh my God, so we are similar. Yes, I don't get why there's so much differences, but that's another topic for another episode, I would say.
I like how people like see people from different religions, so different from us, even though we're like the same people. It's like,
exactly,
we're all human.
Especially like in Arab, like in our communities, like Arabs, you know.
Sometimes, yeah, there's a bit of like this, okay, you're Christian, I'm Muslim.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
Jew,
everyone is like,
even Muslims themselves, they're a problem with each other. So
exactly.
Don't, like, don't
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Imagine, like, imagine with the others.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, it's like super. It's life. But you know, like you know, if the more we talk about this, or like the more we open conversations, like we have open conversations, this generation, the more we're open about actually like learning about other religions. On the contrary, I see it as like something that's good right now, that's happening, especially right now when we're talking about different religions, not only one religion, the fact that there's no differences, in fact there's similarities. If you look at the good things that both people do,
there's more similarities than differences.
Yeah, there is.
And in the end, like religion,
true.
it's something that you do on your own, it's personal. It's not something related to the—
We said it yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember, like, we're like, it's between me and God. It's like not for me to show.
No.
You know? And it's no one's place to judge whether I pray on time, whether I fast, whether what I wear, what I do. That's none of anyone's business. It's my business at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Because they say, you know, Rabna alam bin niyat. So it's all about the intention. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like your intention is what you're, like, you know, like your— it's your relationship with God. Like, he's the one who's gonna judge you in the end. Why do people judge right now?
Exactly.
You know? Like, and it's it's not their place.
And we're not that perfect to judge. We'll never reach the
perfection.
Epitome of perfection. Speaking of epitome, have you guys—
I love that word, by the way, May.
Explain this word.
Creative writing, girly. Like, I see you. Okay.
I asked that question.
Writer.
Girl, I swear. I asked the question yesterday. I asked Mimi and Judy. I was like, guys, have you ever reached the epitome of individuality? And I feel like the epitome is like the highest
rank.
Level, the highest rank of something.
The highest of the highest.
Exactly.
Like, I would say like higher than higher.
Exactly. Yeah. I see like beyond the horizons, you would say.
Like when you say individuality, explain more.
Yeah, like, who are you in a way?
Like, have I reached the maximum of who I am?
Okay, okay.
Okay, that's a very—
But
I remember we talked about it, but we didn't like actually answer it.
Yeah.
So have I reached the highest level of
individuality?
Highest level? Okay. What I'm imagining right now, you know the the Haslow hierarchy thing?
Yeah.
Like you have your first needs, you have your second needs, you have your third, fourth, and then the last fourth or fifth is self-actualization.
True.
Where like when you reach that level, is that like you are like your total self. Like you have reached that level of like self awareness, and like you are like, you're aware of yourself and who you are and what you do and your purpose and things like that. So like in life, according to Haslow, he's like a very very common popular like philosopher and anthropologist, it's like if you reach that level of like self-actualization, is that you know yourself as an individual like the best way possible. So
yeah,
do you think you reached that point?
Do I think no I feel like I did when I was younger, when I was younger, I thought I was the center of the world.
I mean, as you should. You still
should think.
So I thought like I knew everything about myself. Like I know I was like everyone loves me. I mean, you know what I mean?
As
like as a child, because as a child, I feel like it's different. I feel like as a child, you want like attention from people, and you feel like you're the center of the world, and you can do whatever you want because you don't see like the like you don't really you don't see the like the negative part of like doing something.
We were talking about
now we see it.
But we were talking about being the main character of your life, so I feel like you were living
I was living the main character.
You still are
Everyone
still
is living the main character of the world.
So I believe I believe you have phases of like self-actualization, and then you the phase lowers down. I don't know, you have like you encounter something, or like, and like that phase is not there there anymore.
So you're not satisfied with your life.
You're not always at that level of self-actualization. You are at certain moments in your life.
Okay.
Maybe when you graduate or when you get married, you're like, oh my God, I found myself. Oh my God, this is perfect.
You think it's temporary?
It's temporary. Okay. And it's not, for me at least, and it's not like always something that you will forever like be on that level. Like you will have moments where you feel be on that level because, I don't know, like, as I said, like you graduated, you feel like you're the best version of yourself. I don't know, you got married, you're like, oh my God, this is perfect. My life is perfect.
Yeah.
So you feel like you have reached that level.
I feel like that's more like of a society.
Yeah.
It's like a standard. If you're not married, if you're not graduating with a good degree.
Society standard, yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It affects us though.
And it affects you as an individual.
It affects you as an
especially
individual.
As an Arab, because as Arabs, we have very high expectations that are quite dangerous to one's mental health, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, for example, at least one kid in the family has to be a doctor or engineer.
Yeah, yeah.
If not, girl, like, I have two engineers in my family and a doctor and a biologist. I'm nowhere near that. I'm nowhere near that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I took my mom's love for literature.
That's
so cute. I feel like that. But at the same time, okay, what if no one is an engineer? Like, why? Okay, fine, it makes good money, but now we're like in an economy where like no one makes good money.
Yeah, everyone just wants like that. Yeah,
it's a very like traditional maybe view. I feel like nowadays
that's like
there's
the
so
class.
Many other ways to like.
It's like
used
prestige,
to look at,
you know.
Yeah, I think that's why they used to, like Mohandes. You know,
exactly.
Like, your name is a Mohandes, like engineer,
doctor.
You know, a doctor. Like this is like all of these wordings. Yeah. They mean so much to our like to our societies that they wanted everyone to be like that. It's a stereotype, you know. It's a stereotype.
It
it's like the way they think. That's what they want. People
true.
To be as you know
true and I feel like it's the standard that made all the young people question who they are and not reach their individuality because it like for example when you have so much pressure on you wanting let's say parents right or like society or whatever you have to be this thing. Okay, so where I can find my place to be my own individual?
You can choose though.
It's a journey.
You can choose, but it's a journey.
It's a journey.
But like,
and if as long as you have, I feel like sometimes a lot of kids they want to like please others.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They're like, I want to please my parents. Okay, I'll become a doctor. I become an engineer.
Because you're afraid that they will not like you anymore.
Yeah,
and I think
yeah.
that's the biggest fear
and
any
then,
kid has.
Yeah,
and then there's like this, like I don't know. Epitome, I guess, or whatever. Like this, like moment of truth. We're like, oh my God, I can't stand this anymore. Like, that kind of like what happened to me. Like, I did a degree, I did computer science for like not because like I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to do computer science, but also I wanted to like make my parents proud.
Mm-hmm.
So I did computer science. Didn't really enjoy
like it.
Didn't like it. So I switched to something that like my parents had no idea what it was. Like computation arts.
Okay,
so,
but still, like you were doing. In a way, codings and stuff, but
I did
but creative,
coding,
but like creatively,
yeah.
so.
In
creative
yeah.
way.
But
yeah,
my
so.
Dad doesn't understand that creative coding. What does that even mean? So yeah, so it's like so I that's what I feel like. I feel like some people may please maybe their parents or others and do something that
It's not purposely. It just
not purposefully.
Yeah.
No.
It's something that I think because as I said, like you know, when you're a kid, you're like your parents are the best role model to yourself, so everything that they say is right, you know, when you're kids. And it's the same way. It's like, okay, they want you to be this person and you're afraid that if you don't be this person that they want you to be, you know, their expectations, they won't like you anymore.
Yeah.
You know, where in fact actually I think right now like people are changing. That's how I see it. So in fact right now I feel maybe not everyone but like there could be some change, you know, expectations.
There is always room for change.
Yeah.
There's always room. But I was saying, because when you mentioned the guys, people, pleasing people, right?
People. Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're all like now a generation of
people pleasers
or like people who feel guilty just because, I don't know.
Even with ourselves, you know, we feel guilty. Like you're out.
I know.
You're like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing anything. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not working on anything, you know? Or like
sometimes you just need to sit and do nothing.
I know, but like you still feel guilty, you know. Even
I feel guilty
even if I'm home and there's sun outside. I'm why am I even home right now?
It's still but that like struggle between wanting just to stay in your bed but there's the sun outside.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh my
God,
I'm missing out. But like there's always days where the sun is gonna be out, but there's but there won't be days where you rest in bed, I feel like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah,
and definitely. That's where we underestimate, I feel like we underestimate the power of rest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it also affects our individuality, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. we're like always hustling, always grinding, always wanting to be so many things at mm-hmm. the same time. I want to be five careers in one. I can't rest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think to build yourself as an individual, you need to like have moments of rest, because moments of rest is the, I think it's the time where you think the most about yourself. So like
you don't want that.
It's a dangerous place.
Mm, yeah, I know.
It's a dangerous exactly. place to be on your own.
No one wants to be on their own.
Because you go deep in your thoughts and you overthink, and then you start really thinking about yourself and what you actually are as an individual, what you want to do, things like that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, the power of rest is really helpful to find yourself, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to go on break right now because we need to do the advertisement, but we'll come back and discuss more about this topic of individuality and staying with ourselves and the dangerous things that we think about during that time.
Yeah.
CJLO is putting on a show. On Friday, April 4th, join us at Maison Montreal for a show celebrating our brand new folk music programming month, New Roots. With sets by local artists Girl With Dream, Hanako, and Holly McLaughlin, you won't want to miss this night of intimate singer-songwriter performances. Tickets are on sale now. For more information, check out CJLO on Instagram at CJLOMTL and at CJLO.com.
It's a miserable Friday night. I'm so lonely, and nobody will give me a ride to the Grateful Dead concert. Oh, rats.
Don't fret. There's always Brave New Jams, your source for the best in improvisational rock and roll. That's Brave New Jams, Saturday, 10 p.m. till midnight, on CJLO, 1690 a.m., CJLO.com. We'll be right back.
قد ايش ما يصير مو لازم تصير الواقع جاي يوريك حلمك يحتاج تغيير مو بس انت الوحيد لا تنسى انك لسه صغير مهما تفشل بتصير حتكبر حتنسى وحتسمع نفس القصة حتكبر وحتنسى انت شايف الموت بعيد بأي لحظة الشموع رح تنطفي تعلم درسك تحيه أهم من الوصول مش ورا الطريق بكرة الشعر يشيل والشغف هذا حيطير جرب غامر وعيش حتكبر حتنسى وحتسمع نفس القصة حتكبر وحتنسى وحتروي نفس القصة حتكبر وحتنسى
Welcome back, everyone. we're live on our Instagram, so everyone is watching too. So everyone who's watching us, we hope you enjoy the visuals, not only the audio. You know, we're gonna continue our topic for the day, and we're gonna talk about our individuality and how the process of being with ourselves during this Ramadan and the process of connecting and rehabilitation.
You mean rehabilitation.
And also like connecting with ourselves or with God, or like removing the bad habits that you had during that time. You know, how was the process with all of like with the holy month of Ramadan?
For me, I feel like this Ramadan is my favorite because I've been consistent, and there I was struggling with consistency at one point and discipline. So I feel like this Ramadan, like, it was easy, it was fast, everything any has it, like, it's so smooth, you know, praying on time, having access to pray whenever I have time. And reading the Quran, and oh my God, I was telling you guys yesterday when I was reading the Quran, I had so many questions. I was like, whoa, like, I'm missing out on so much that's already written that we are going through every day. And it's like, I feel like the Quran is a miracle, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely, of course.
It's the connection that you had, like, with it, and like the way you interpret it, and like the way you saw like it was connecting to you, and which is really beautiful.
Every time you read the Quran, you learn something.
When you listen to it too, it calms you down. It's like, whenever, like, you're panicking, you're anxious, you're like, whatever, there's a solution for everything in the Quran. And it's amazing.
And how was your process of like removing the bad habits, and like were you able to remove the bad habits?
I'm working on it. I feel like even at one point I was considering like having very negative emotions a strong habit, but even though, like, at the end of the day, like, they're valid emotions, right? But I'm like, no, I shouldn't, like, for example, I shouldn't be angry at something that I had that means nothing to me anymore. I shouldn't be frustrated with something that doesn't do me good anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking this mentality of like whatever that left, فيها خير. Mm-hmm. Always,
yeah, of course, yeah.
Everything is happening for my for my greater good. So, I feel like I'm doing some progress. Alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. What about you guys?
You wanna go ahead. Yeah, Julie.
For me, it was like a process. You know, like at the beginning, it was like a bit hard for me to like be able to like have this remove the bad habits that I have. You know, like, and I tried my best. I feel like I don't know. Like I wasn't the best. Like, I wasn't able to do what I wanted to do fully.
And that's okay.
Alhamdulillah. I'm satisfied, you know.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. I did want to do more. Mm-hmm. But I felt like it was... I cut off coffee, which is, like, something that I don't usually do, you know. And it feels, like, actually good, you know. Like, because mm-hmm. you cut off the food that's, like, you know, I don't eat everything that I usually eat. And mm-hmm. you don't eat a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to notice that when we don't fast anymore. Like, we don't want to eat everything that we used to eat. Because, like, you're fed up with food.
No, exactly.
Yeah, you see food in a different way. You see it more as something that, like, you're grateful of, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because and you also, like, eat a lot of, like, different things, too, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
But I tried to connect with myself. I was able to calm down for a bit. Like, I was able to cool down at home, do stuff, you know, connect.
Like,
more.
Regulate your emotions.
Yeah, and all of that. And, like,
perfect,
try to be calm.
That's nice.
That's good, you know?
That's really good. Yeah, I'm so happy.
Yeah, for me, it went very fast for me. Like, I was... like busy with work and stuff and school, like it goes very quickly when mm-hmm. that happens.
Yeah.
But I went to the gym and during Ramadan, so that's cool.
That's actually
first
a
time,
skill.
First time
that's good.
In my life that I went to
the gym
to the gym in Ramadan. It's weird because in some periods during the day I have so much energy.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I have so much energy, especially like after that like feeling of hunger that kind of fades away during your fast, you get this like surge of energy. I think your body trying to like protect your immune system,
so
and things
like
that.
You have this
surge of energy. Mm-hmm. And then I use that in the gym. I use mm-hmm. it a lot in the gym. So yeah, so this month I went to the gym during Ramadan,
that's
which
so
is
nice.
Really,
that's
good.
Actually
yeah.
really good. And I wish I could do that. Yeah. I wanted to, but yeah. I feel like I don't know.
It's difficult. It's not easy to do. It's very difficult.
It requires
energy and discipline.
Discipline, 100%.
Otherwise, I try to like, you know, focus on my emotions about like the stability of it and things like that. Remind myself. Also like eating dinners with the family is like every single day was something that I really enjoyed because we don't really do it often mm-hmm. like outside of Ramadan. Yeah. So like reminding ourselves like as a family eating together and things like that.
That's such a blessing.
Yeah, such a blessing.
Alhamdulillah.
I think the family aspect too. I didn't talk about it, but it's actually like for me too. Like it mm-hmm. was really nice to mm-hmm. spend time
same.
And like eat at the same table with mm-hmm. my family.
Same,
and especially that we didn't, as you said, like we don't do it that often.
Yeah,
right,
because
everyone
is busy. Exactly.
Everyone has stuff to do, you know. Mm-hmm. Even now, sometimes I don't spend time. Some mm-hmm. maybe during some days I didn't, but you know because في عزايم كتير sometimes we go and like
Ramadan is about
and like with everyone.
Oh my
so
god
nice.
Iftar. We do actually, we're having an iftar tonight.
Yeah, we are. So it's like we do like iftars, like we do azaim and we go with people and like stuff like that.
Yeah,
so this is the only thing that I think I should have done less mm-hmm. and do more with my family, because it's a way of connecting with your family.
But
you know?
Also, a beautiful thing about Ramadan is not only like being with your family 100% is great, but also the feeling of like being on a bigger table with people you love outside your family, for sure. Like your friends, your close friends, people sometimes you want to reconnect with,
it's
and they
so
like,
nice.
Yeah, let's, yeah. you know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, exactly. The feeling of like giving home. to people who miss that feeling.
Oh yeah,
especially هون بالغربة in Canada,
where people don't have their families.
Exactly.
The aspect of community here is very important, especially here in Canada, where it's not as common as like in other.
Yeah,
countries.
I felt it when you guys came to my place.
Oh my god, I love it. That was amazing.
Connecting. It was. It felt like home. You know.
Yeah.
It
did. That's how I felt.
Yeah, it does. Especially when like you are with people you genuinely love and people who actually love you back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even just like the gratitude.
The gratitude that you feel during that. Exactly. Yeah, during that time.
I don't know, was it last Thursday or the Thursday before when we also did the iftar at Concordia?
Last Thursday.
It was last Thursday. We were like 12 people sitting on a big round table, but it felt like so... I felt like in another life... This is my family, right? I'm like, yeah, amazing.
Yeah, it's so nice. It's so nice having like a big community here and like doing all of this with them, you know?
Exactly,
and,
alhamdulillah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, and for everything, Anjad. So we reflected on the things. I have another question for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Tell me.
What shapes your individuality?
That's a very good question.
How is it? What shapes it?
What shapes my individuality?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
It could be many things.
It could be many things. Yeah,
I would say the people that you meet as well as the situations you go through go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also the choices that you make within meeting those people and going through the situations.
Okay, yeah. Okay. For me, they're all it's a bit linked. Different. For me, it's moments when you're on your own. Moments. It's the moments when when you're on your own is that when you actually understand your individuality, because I feel like when you're with people, you kind of have you're different than when you're on your own. You have to like maybe portray a certain image, or like of course you're yourself, but you have versions of yourself. You show a version of yourself, maybe it's different in a community, and then it's your version of yourself is something else when you're alone.
Yeah,
still yourself. I'm not saying that like you're faking or anything like that, but like I feel like when you're on your own, you really get to learn about yourself. I don't know, you do journaling, you listen to podcasts, you really like think about like the experiences you've been through in your life. You kind of like you self-reflect, you really think about who you were before and what you want to be after, and you have time to do it, and like your mind just goes places because your mind is so complex and things like that. So you learn more about yourself when you're on your own, more than I feel like when you're with people. And learning about yourself will really like build you as an individual and how you portray yourself to others. So they're all interconnected in some
way.
They are. What about you?
I agree with both of you. You know, like I feel like I can find myself with people, but also I need some time on my own. You know, like I need to balance.
It's a balance.
You know?
It's
a whole balance thing. You know.
Yeah.
One day, like I think it was during Ramadan. Like one day, I walked alone. I was like, oh, I missed that. You know, I used to do that a lot, a long time ago. But now, like, every time I go out, it's either I have to do something and then go see people. And then I'm like, okay, I'm overstimulated. Mm-hmm. I'm not thinking about myself. Mm-hmm. I need to start thinking about myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So then, okay, you go reflect. You're like, okay, when I reflected, for example, I journal. So I write everything that I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, now I know what I want. You
exactly.
Know? Like, I know what's the plan.
It's more clear. It's more clear rather than all in your head and like it's all over the place and you don't really know. Mm-hmm. When
it's all over your head, it's like, okay, what am I doing?
Yeah,
I don't know where I should go. What should I do? What? Who am I?
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's this question of who you are as a person, or who you see yourself as an individual. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
Go ahead. I have a question, but like I want you to finish first.
Yes, I finished.
Okay. So I have a question. Like, are you like fully satisfied with your individuality?
Satisfied.
Or like in accepting, because I know a lot of people who are. Even on their own, when they're alone, they're afraid to face themselves.
Mm.
Yeah. So are you afraid to face yourself?
At this point of my life, I feel like I'm less afraid of actually showing myself. I'm more like into... I like the idea of being with myself also. Like, I'm not afraid of facing myself as much as I used to. Because I'm accepting the fact that I'm not a perfect human being, and... We all tend to be like our personalities, you know. And we talked about it yesterday when we talked about virtual realities and mm-hmm. how to face, you know, like mm-hmm. all the virtual mm-hmm. realities that mm-hmm. each one live in, and not having expectations towards what people should be like, you know, like
yeah.
That's how I see it right now at this point of my life. So I love to being on my own, to be honest.
Yeah, same. Yeah. No, I love being on my own. I feel like I learn about myself more than like if I'm like with other people.
Yeah.
And I believe like now I feel like I have reached a certain level of individuality, but like it's never gonna finish. Like it's always oh, yeah. gonna like process. Always develop and change, and it's gonna change into like different patterns and things like that. So yeah, I feel like I got to know myself more being on my own, talking to people, obviously meeting new people. You get to learn about yourself a lot. So mm-hmm. yeah, I guess like yeah, so yeah,
I love being with people sometimes, because people, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know if you guys
hear it. Yeah.
Because there's some like cracks that's been happening, but probably it's a problem from the actual
yeah,
broadcasting.
Yeah, I think it's okay. Yeah,
it's fine. Yeah. Anyways, going back, I was saying, and no, I like being with people sometimes because they actually observe and they tell you the things that you don't notice sometimes.
Yeah, about you. Yeah.
About yourself. Or like, yeah. you know, like, and they teach you stuff like,
shout out Hiba, because she's the observer of our group, actually. So
yeah, she does observe. Yeah, I remember yeah. the first time I met her, she was like,
I observe.
I she, no, she like analyzed us. And, like,
oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah. Well, I remember.
I mean, she tried.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hiba, for your analysis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. I really like the observing, like people who observe and like they tell you afterwards. I like people being. I like when people come and tell me you do this. It's like, oh, they notice the small things. You know, I feel like it's really cute. Nice.
Yeah, especially when also like when you do things that you're not aware of, but actually it's going to save you so much later.
Mm-hmm,
so I like that too. And I feel like we have a lot of that in our group in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I feel like people also like see things that you don't necessarily see mm-hmm. about yourself, and that could help you like maybe become a better person and things like that.
Exactly. So, because who see the thing that maybe, let's say you did something wrong mm-hmm. technically, but you're not aware of it, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Those who don't tell you are those who don't wish for you to be better.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure.
And they will watch you fall and they will tell you like, oh, but you've been doing so and so and so. And mm-hmm. when you confront them, be like, why didn't you tell me earlier?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's definitely like, but it's also like, you know, sometimes there are people you can't confront. Not because, you know, like not telling them is like, there's two different things about not telling people something sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, like
yeah.
observing and telling mm-hmm. them the things that hurt them, and maybe sometimes just like letting go of.
So it depends on like what you want to say. Sometimes maybe it could be harsh, you don't want to like hurt them.
Yeah, you know, like you don't want to like hurt them as a person, so you try maybe you just say like shut and like you don't say anything.
Sometimes
that happens too, like not observing.
Yeah, but sometimes and if the person is so dear to you,
yeah,
hurt them now mm-hmm. rather than watching them lose themselves later.
I agree. You know, mm-hmm. I have an example, not in terms of like telling them stuff like about like personal stuff or anything, but my brother, for example, I would have like something in my
teeth.
He would come and tell me.
Yeah,
He was like, why are you getting frustrated? I don't know. I'm not like frustrated, but like I would say something, and he's like, oh, I'm just. If I don't like you, I wouldn't
tell you,
you mm-hmm. know, because I know you don't like this.
Yeah.
So I tell you, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's a way of expressing your love. It could be mm-hmm, through this, mm-hmm. you know, like you want protection for this human being because you love it too much. So you want to protect this human being, you know, but sometimes it could be a bit harsh towards the other person and how he takes it or she takes it.
I just have a random thought.
About what?
Siblings are so underrated.
I know.
What do you mean by that, May?
I mean, like, no, sometimes, like, I know, like, we have our differences and whatever, right? But they're, like, the ones who are, like, bro, your own flesh and blood, you know?
And
at the end of the day, like, when the relationship is good and you, like, your parents do so much work in building a good relationship between your siblings, you're like, oh, my God. I do have friends from when I was born mm-hmm. that I'm not aware of.
Right.
Oh, for sure.
I realized that recently, actually, really? With my sister. Like, I, like you have a friend without even having a friend.
Exactly.
Like,
I don't,
like it's like she came and you didn't even like didn't know.
She's
appeared out of nowhere and she's like here with me forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think once you realize that like she will always be there for you and like she has seen you through your ups and downs and like seen you at your worst mm-hmm. and like seen you be happy, seen you be angry, seen you be sad, it's like okay, she's with me now for life.
Yeah,
and
she accepts you as you are,
and I'm so happy that like I have someone like that in my life.
Your siblings are the ones who would become aware, or like they would be the first one to notice you being an individual, coming to your individuality, because they're the ones who we're like we are with every day more
we
than
see
friends
every day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes they would see, oh my god, for example, like my older siblings, right? I'm a middle child, right? So they would see me building myself up, you mm-hmm. know? And I would see, I'm seeing that with my younger mm-hmm. brother now because I'm like a little bit older, but I don't see it maybe also I can see my older siblings going through the individualities as well.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's all a cycle, you know? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You see yourself maybe in your like older siblings too. You're like they've accomplished things that you all you want to accomplish.
Yeah, 100%.
You're influenced by them.
Yeah,
you
do see them as your role models.
I do. Like I'm mm-hmm. proud. I'm proud and very grateful mm-hmm. that my siblings can do science and math mm-hmm. and I can't.
Yeah, I do. I do agree with like the fact that having like brothers are like they're your friends. They're literally, as you guys said,
friends. Like
they're for
friends
when you were
default.
Kids. You know,
yeah. Exactly.
You don't
default.
Notice it
yeah.
when you're kids. You know,
yeah.
we always used to fight with my brothers.
Same. Oh my god.
With my brothers, they always used to fight with me. Like, oh my gosh, you always used to have like these things.
My younger brother.
But these are huge fights now.
My younger brother, oh my god. He would throw all my dolls, all my Barbies, all my
yesterday.
Yeah, she was saying that. But I forgive him because he makes up for it now, so.
They always do.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so cute, like, how the relationships develop, like, with your brothers and like sisters and like siblings in general, like the
no,
way
exactly.
it's just like
yeah.
you become like hate before like you know like before love and like everything
yeah,
like
yeah. Do you guys have that like sometimes you fight with your sisters or brothers and then like you come back and you pretend nothing happened? That's
like yes, I would do it on my end, but like with my sister, I used to fight with her all because I want like her makeup and her clothes, right?
Yeah.
And because there were only two girls, so we're like, and there's a huge age difference, but like still, like I was always one, I want to be like you, I want to do makeup, mm-hmm. I want to wear clothes. Mm-hmm. She's like, no. No. Still
but
love you though.
Like,
no.
Yeah, but then you like shake hands and then you move on.
No,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
then yeah. I would go, I would wear her thing, I would like do a little fashion show and I'm like, bye.
And she has no choice but to accept.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I do that. Yeah. I do that with my brother.
Yeah,
like, my brother. We always like whenever we fight, it's like small. It's like stupid fights, mm-hmm. you know. Like whenever,
yeah.
like it could be about food, like literally, or about me just entering the room without actually knocking on the door.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
This could
yeah.
be the whole fight, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then you just like continue your day as if nothing happened. Like I tell him, okay, do you want to go on a walk?
Yeah,
let's
me
go.
Too, yeah.
So we go on a walk, like as if nothing
yeah, exactly.
happened.
Yeah.
And we debrief. And you know,
yeah.
and they're your secret keepers as well,
yeah.
like your brothers or like.
Yeah,
siblings,
I find it
I
easier
like.
To communicate with my younger brother mm-hmm. because we're like closer in age. We're like
exactly, yeah,
and this, we're like we never separated.
Mm-hmm,
like mm-hmm. I wouldn't go for days not seeing him. So I feel like he knows everything, pretty mm-hmm. much so many things, and he tells me so many things. So it's like yeah, I can tell my brother. He's mm-hmm. cool. He's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's cool. He can tell me. I can tell him.
Yeah,
cool.
exactly.
Yeah.
It's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No one to judge. No one there to judge.
Yeah.
Nothing.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. 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 They understand. Yeah. For
yeah.
sure.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We have 5 minutes left. Any ending remarks? Anyone want to say anything?
Embrace your individuality and never be afraid of your background and never be ashamed of
who you are as an individual.
Yeah, and all yeah. the places that you've been through, all the people that you met shapes you, but not fully. and never be afraid to face yourself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. To continue with Maine, never be afraid to face yourself, and like never be scared to be alone. And I feel like there's moments where you need to be alone and to figure out yourself and things like that. Mm-hmm. So being alone is, as I said, is a dangerous place. So be brave and like, go, you know, really like
go deep
in the dungeon and find, yeah, this may sound cringy, but find yourself and things like that when you're all when you're alone. I think it's the best way. Yeah.
True.
It's the best way to shape our personalities.
True. Exactly.
And just embrace yourself, love yourself, hug yourself, look at yourself in the mirror maybe in the mornings and say like, you look pretty today, you know?
Yeah. Guys, be mahmar al-koon. What do you mean?
Exactly. Anyway, okay.
I'll see you next week.
See you next week, same time on CJLO 1690 with the voice of the voiceless.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Yo, we ran out. Concordia Relay for Life is going all out for our final event of the year, Petals of Courage. On April 4th, come out to the chapel on Loyola campus for a flower-themed day of friendly competition, community building, and exciting giveaways. From 6 p.m. to 11 p.m., teams will face off in a series of challenges and fun activities, and all proceeds go to the Canadian Cancer Society. You'll also get a free t-shirt, food, and drinks for just $15. Follow at Concordia Relay for more details.
Push that button. Yo, oh,
how about this one?
Say something quick. The security guard coming.
What?
Say something quick.
Say what?
The Caribbean Callaloo, the 2-time award-winning show on CJLO. 1690 on your AM dial every Saturday from 2 p.m. till 4 p.m. 514-848-7471.
Who's that girl, boy?
You can't talk, but you can see her.
شفتك واقفه فوق البلكون خمنتك شبيه مادموزيل توخزيني بردون شفتك لابسه بيري وكاسكت طالعه بالسوق بتقيب البيت من غير بودره من غير تواليت وقصة شعرك الكرسون خمنتك شبيه مادموزيل لا توخزيني بردون بردون خمنتك شاب يا مادموزيل لا توخزيني بردون